All right, everyone can see the screen. Chayei Sara, we're good? Okay, Chayei Sara, Vayi Chayei Sara, Mea Shana, V'yasm Shana, V'shev Hashanim. Sara, whoops. Sara lived, the lifetime of Sara is 100 years. Okay, Chayei Sara, Mea Shana, 100 years, 20 years, V'yasm Shana, V'shev Hashanim. 127 years. Shnei, these are the years. Chayei Sara. Rashi. Vayu Chayei Sara Me'ashana V'yeshem Shana V'shev Hashanim. 127 years. L'kach Nichtav Shana B'chol Klal U'Klal. Rashi is asking a question. Why did it say the word Shana three times? Now notice Rashi over here is doing something very interesting. Rashi is calling 100 a Klal. He's calling 20 a Klal. And he's calling 7 a Klal. If not for Rashi saying this, we would not say this. Would you call 7 a klal? You would call 7 a prat. No? Yeah. Let me put everyone here on mute. We have over here some interference. We have some interference here. I need to put everyone on mute. Too much noise here. All right. Okay, we've all been muted. So let me ask you a question. Why over here is it called a klal? If you were writing this, I would say 100 years is the klal. And 27 years is the prat. And if you want to say 20 is also called a klal, so I would certainly say 7 is a prat. Yet look at this Rashi. You ever notice this in Rashi? The Rashi over here says, Lama nichtav shana b'chol klal u'chlal. Rashi is calling the number 7 a klal, which tells us over here that the 120, it's not just, you know, an odd number. The number 7, every 7 years, you have to appreciate this, every 7 years you live in life, you've gone through a yovel. I mean, you've gone through a Shemitah. You've gone through a Shemitah. 7 years is not just, oh, so no, just, you know, you got to die some, you got to die eventually. So, you know, you die 120, 122, 23, 24, what difference does it make? No, this word in Rashi itself is incredible. Every 7 years is a set. A person makes it from through Shemitah. You've lived a cycle. You've lived a complete period of time. Sarah did not die during an odd year out. Just Stam, like Stam, you know, Shirayim. She died after a klal. 100 is a klal. 20 is a klal. 20, we know that a person's not a bar einshin for 20 years. Okay, 20 is definitely a series of time that is called a klal. And 7 is called a klal. It's not just stama. 7 is nothing. Now the question, why is the word shana? Lo mitol shana b'chol klal u'klal. Lo mitol te ansiyu shakal echad nidrash li'atzim. That was the famous drasha. Bas kuf kibas chof. When she was 100 years, she was like she was 20 years. L'chait. What does that mean? Ma baschof, just like a 20-year-old woman, ma baschof loichata. And this is an unbelievable thing he says over here. Loichata. What do you mean loichata? You certainly did sin. What do you mean you didn't sin? You certainly sinned. It just means you're not responsible. What does Rashi over here mean loichata? It's tremendous chiddush. He's saying over here that until a person is 20 years old, loichata shaharei eina bas oinshin. If you are not held accountable, that's not called a sin. A sin is only known, it's an incredible insight. It's only called an avera if you can be punished. If you cannot be punished, it's not even called an avera. Af bas kuf b'loichet, u'machof kibazayin, baschof kibazayin liyoifi, for beauty. Now what is, everyone asked this question, what does that mean over here? They said this by the Levi yesterday. What do you mean baschof kibazayin liyoifi? Of Moshe Tendler, he was part of this as Hesped. What do you mean, Baschof, Bazayin? A woman who is 7 years old, Ilchoir is not the same Yoifi as Baschof. I think the average man would say that a Baschof has Yoifi, and a Bazayin, you have innocence, a child. A Bazayin is not a Yoifi. So he gave an answer. Of Moshe Tendler gave an answer. He said yesterday by the Levaya, that if a child, someone who's 7 years old, is wearing clothing that does not fit, is wearing an outfit that does not fit, no one is going to criticize the child. the child will be judged based on the child's own natural beauty. Someone's 20 years old, no matter how beautiful you are, if you don't dress the part, if you don't wear appropriate clothing and everything, all of the externals don't fit into who you are, then it takes away from the yoifi. It's a given that a woman who's a bas chof has a yoifi that a child bas zayin does not have. However, you can ruin it. This is what he was saying. You say, but a woman who's a bas chof, you have to also take advantage of what you have and dress appropriately. A bas zayin doesn't need to do that. A bas zayin, the natural beauty of a bas zayin, is praiseworthy regardless of all of the external factors. How the child's hair is made up, what kind of clothing the child is wearing, what kind of shoes they're wearing, what kind of pocketbook the child has. It doesn't make a difference. You don't look at the externals, you look at the person, who they are. That's what he said yesterday. But I want to tell you of another idea, and that is, we just concluded, Rashi himself gave us the answer. I'll tell you a drush. The drush I want to say is, over here, the word Zion goes back on the klal. Rashi over here says that the number 7 over here doesn't just mean the number 7. It means it's a klal. 7, we know, is Shemitah. 7 years is a shleimus in Zman. When you reach a shleimus in Zman, there's a yoifi. Yoifi doesn't just mean physical beauty. It means a completeness. Everything is in its right place. Everything, there is a beauty in hashlama. 20 is nishtahi nishtaher. The number 20 is there's no 20. The 20 that doesn't have any shleimus. But nevertheless, Sari Imenu, at every stage in her life, was kibaz zayin liyoyfi. Every stage in her life, she was in a matzav of shleimus. When you come to Shemitah is the zman hashmotas, all the chovos are cancelled when it comes Shemitah. There is, it's a cycle. And a person, many times in life, you go through different phases in life, and you're always not here, not there. How often do you come to a matzav of shleimus? Bas Chof, when she was 20 years old, okay, it's kibaz zayin liyoyfi, it's giving a mashal. Even when she was bas chof, maybe you can say, when a person is 20 years old, you're in a state of chaos. 20-year-old doesn't know where they're going, where they're coming. Zion is more of a mashal for what he said before, the klal of Zion, not the prat of Zion. Right, that's the job. We're not supposed to learn Jewish, we're supposed to learn just Chumash and Rashi and Unklus. Okay, let's see. Targum. Targum says, V'havoi chayisar was me'osh me'o 100 ve'asrin u'shvashnin. Now, what did the Targum do? The Targum over here did something almost never does. Do we ever see him do something like this? Where he deletes words. The Targum always is coming to give us an exact translation, or, and often, not very often, but every once in a while, the Targum will add in a few words into the pasuk in order to enhance the translation. And here, the Targum did just the opposite. He took out Shana, Shana, Shana. And now we can appreciate, remember, our thesis of this year is, Rashi did not write his commentary in a vacuum. Every word of Rashi is a direct commentary, a direct response to Unkelus. Rashi took a look at this Unkelus, V'avucha Yisrael me'or ve'asrin u'shva shenin. Shnei chayesara, Rashi said, what in the world did you do, Unkelus? You left out the word Shana, Shana, v'sheva shanim. You combined it all into one? You combined it with Shva shanim? What in the world did you do to the word Shana? You deleted the word Shana from the translation, Hayitachin? Rashi was no way going to let the Targum get away with this. And therefore Rashi right away says, L'kach nichtah shana b'chol klal u'chlal. Clear. Rashi is attacking Ungolus. This fits perfectly into our theme. Everything Rashi says is a direct attack. Now, let's look at the secrets here on the side. I call them the secrets. The ma'at tzori, me'a v'eshu shashin, loy tirgen mila b'mila k'losh namikra me'a shenin, v'eshu shenin. Ayin mashkasa v'el v'ayin perish abin yonis, ayin vishis al torah, shaperish menish kosha al pi diak zebetargum. Okay, I didn't look, but obviously the saying over here is something very deep over here. This is extremely rare for the Targum to omit words from the Pasuk. And it seems like he had a reason. We got to go check this out. And Rebbeinu Yehoshua and Eibeshitz to see what's going on over here. I didn't look it up. Let's go further. Bekiryas Arba, that's Pasuk Beis. Pasuk Beis. Okay, let's continue. Let's move ahead. Okay, let's move ahead. We're up to Pasuk Beis. Atamos sada die where be Kiryas Arba. Kiryas Arba, name of a place. What is Kiryas Arba? Chevron, the Eretz Kenoan and Lev Kenan. Vayva Avraham. Avram came lispoid lisada v'liv koysa. Now, then, when you go to the Maris Machpelah, the only one who died in Chevron was Sarah. She's in charge there. Adam and Chava. It doesn't say where they died. It doesn't say where did Adam and Chava die. I don't know. Where did Avraham die? End of the parasha, it says he died. I don't think he died in Hebron. He died somewhere else. Yaakov certainly didn't die in Hebron. Neither did Yitzchak. So the only one, when you go there to Maris Machpelah, the only one who really died in Maris Machpelah, in Hebron, when you go to Hebron, you're not just going to the Maris Machpelah, you're going to the place where Sarah Imenu passed away. It's a Farish Apasik. Vatamash Sarah, where did she die? She died Bekiryas Arba in Hebron. Why is it even necessary to tell us the location of where she died? Obviously, there's something to it. There's something more to it. Is where a person dies also has there's an importance to know about the location. Now, let's say the Kiryas Arba. Why was the city called Kiryas Arba? The Kiryas means a city. Kiryas means a city of four. Al Shem Arba Anakim Shalishu were four giants. Achimon, Sheshai, Vesalmai, Vavihen. Achimon, Sheshai, Vesalmai, their father. Those are the four giants. What about their mother? The mother wasn't a giant? I guess not. Dover Acher, Al Shem Arba, Zugois, the four Zugois, Shinikbudu Sham, Ish V'Ishtoi, Adam Chava, Avim Asar, Yitzhak V'Rivka, Yaakov Leia. Question, if according to Rashi's second interpretation, it's called Kiryas, the city of four, and the four means the four Zugois, the four peers who died, Zugois, why, it's it didn't happen yet. It didn't happen yet. Yitzchak, Avraham didn't die yet. Yitzchak and Rivka didn't die yet. Yaakov and Leah didn't die yet. So how can we call the place Kiryas Arba al Shem Ha'osid? Obviously, the Torah over here, according to Rashi's second interpretation, is the fundamental difference in understanding how the Torah was written. When the Torah was written, the way the Torah was it written according to the matzah of the moment, when we're writing, when the pasuk was put in writing. Are we focusing on the way do you think on the names of the cities, the locations, based upon the situation at the moment of the time when the pasuk, the event that's being described? Well, when Sarah died, it cannot be possibly be called Kiryas Arba al Shem Arba Zugais when they're still alive. They're not even born yet. So what's going on here? So obviously, in Rashi's second interpretation, it's a whole different approach to learning Chumash. The Torah was written at a later point in time, and when the Torah goes back in history and tells us about events, it describes the events in hindsight. It describes the events of the Torah from the perspective of us today, which is, you know, that's a whole different way to look at a pasuk. It's a very deep idea. Okay, next. This is next. Another thing I want to point out is that this week's parasha is known as the parasha of Shiduchim, Zivugim, because of Yitzchak, the detailed description of Yitzchak and Rivka, Me'ashem Yotzeh Hadavar. But the truth is, the Zugois, Avraham and Sarah, this second pasuk preempted the parasha of Shiduchim, by already telling us about Zivugim over here in the second pasuk. Before you get to Yitzchak and Rivka, the Avraham Zokin Bo Bayomim, and he calls over Eliezer to be the Shatran, we already learn about something that's much more powerful about Shidduchim than anything you can learn about in the parasha, about a Shidduch when you're dead. Because here, look how powerful it goes. A person is buried together with his zivuk. That's nitzri. Person only lives in this world for a short period of time, but to be buried, you have a partner that's right next to you. The Chazal, we don't know, no one even came back to tell us, but the Chazal say that there's a lot of, who you buried next to has a lot of significance. We don't know what this means, but it obviously means something. And the fact that there are both zugois, they're buried together, husband and wife. Okay, we're dealing over here with heavy-duty stuff here. We're dealing over here with not just one Shidduch, Yitzchak and Rivka. We're dealing here with four zugois. And we're not just dealing with a zivuk for a short period of time in this world. Life is very short. We're dealing over here with something that's nitzchi, to be buried with a zug. So this pasuk here, pasuk bey, stole the thunder of Parshas Chayei Sarah. Chayei Sarah's thunder is Shidduchim, Zivugim, and along comes Pasuk Beis and steals the thunder and says, you want to know about Shidduchim and Zivugim? I'll tell you what it's all about. You're going to be buried together with the Zivug. I told you the joke. I have to repeat if anyone didn't hear the joke about how a Litvak proposes to his Kala. What do you do? What was the Maya Shahayat? It was a Kalta Litvak. He went and he went out and when he was dating a girl and you know, he decided he's going to marry her, so he has to propose. So instead of jumping out of an airplane and instead of doing something really bizarre, so the last date he took her to the cemetery for the last date. No flowers. And he took her and he showed her his family ancestral burial grounds. And he showed her where the Elta Zayd is buried, the Elta Baba. And the Elta Zayd, the Elta Baba, and this and that. And he showed him a piece of land. He says, you're my parents, Achaneva Esrim. They're going to be buried here. And you see this piece of land? Achar Meva Esrim. This is where I am going to be buried. My dear lady, let me ask you a question. Would you like to be buried next to me? Here?
Go to only simchas when you see a Lubavitcher couple getting engaged.
Yeah.
They only
go to the oil.
The cemetery by the oil.
By the oil. The oil.
Okay. You take the girl and at the oil, and that means you're.
But this joke is much better. Would you like to be buried here, right next to me? That's the way the Kalta Litvak proposes to his Kala. Okay, so Shaila, so over here, your mama, she learned that Arba Zugais Shenikru Ish Ishay Adam Chava Avram Sarsim Yisrivku Yavleh Vayavay Avraham. Where did he come from? Mebe'er Shava. Be'er Shava. Where didn't Be'er Shava? Because what did it say in the last week's parasha? The Akedah. After the Akedah, it says that Avraham returned to Be'er Shava. That's what after the Akedah was over. And now he comes lispoy to eulogize l'serva l'vkaisa nismicha misa sara le'akedas Yitzchak. Okay, it says over here, the smichos nismicha misa sara, her death is nismicha le'akedas Yitzchak l'fisha alim, that is one of the most difficult Rashis in the whole Torah, not difficult, but it's the most, probably the most darshan Rashi, l'fisha al yidei, Besoiras Hoakeda, the announcement, it's an unusual word for the Akeda. Besoiras Hoakeda. No, Besoiras Toivos. Good tidings. We only want to hear good Besoiras Toivos through the announcement of the Akeda. You have to research this word. Is the word Besoiras in Tanakh and in rabbinic literature, because Rashi over here is using rabbinic words, he's not using biblical words, is this word used both for good or bad, or only for good? Libi Omer Li, that the word besoiras is a word that you usually use for good things. people say we should hear besurois. Besurois. It's probably wrong. It's not besurois. It's besurois. Besurois. I don't know. You always hear people saying when you're rachmana on someone, there's bad news, they say, oh, besurois toivais. It's probably the wrong way to pronounce the word, like everything else we do is wrong. But it probably means, that's how we use it. We use it for good. You don't hear besurois rois, a besura ra. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. If the word is only used for good, it's a little bit bizarre what's going on over here. Rashi over here is setting us up. Sha'al yidei besoiras ha'akeda, the announcement, the informing, sorry, imeinu of yakeda. What happened? She nizdamein bino l'shkita, that her son was nizdamein. What does that mean? He was designated? He was, it's a hard word to translate, the word nizdamein. Uchemat shaloi nishchat, he was not slaughtered. We're very careful to say shaloi and kemat. It did not happen. You know, I had the occasion a couple of times to call up people and tell them that their relative is in the hospital. An emergency happened. Okay, unfortunately I was in this position, and only because of experience. The first thing I said to the person was, I knew they would go crazy. I said, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? I know your son. I want to tell you, everything is fine. Your son, Baruch Hashem, he's well, he's good. I just met him. He's well and he's good. He's fine, he's okay. I just met him. He sends regards. But I want to tell you, he's now in the hospital. There was an incident. Something happened. And he was taken to the hospital. So I don't want to go tell the parent, hello, your son's in the hospital. They could have a heart attack. The son is dead, right? You have to go and tell them right away, hello, I just met your son. He sends regards. He's okay. He's fine. I just spoke to him 2 minutes ago. He's fine. But I want you to know something happened. And he's now in the hospital. And you should come. So here, Rashi over here says shenizdamein. The word nizdamein is a lightweight word. Bino l'shchita. Now the word l'shchita is a little scary to get this word in the beginning. Uchemat shaloi. So you get over here two words here that it's almost, and it did not happen. Nishchat. Rashi softens the nishchat, but in the beginning he right away says l'shchita. Okay, shenizdamein bino l'shchita. Uchemat shaloi nishchat. Parcha nishmasa mimena v'mesa. She died. Okay, she died. Okay, on Tisha B'Av, I spent time on this Rashi, and I said that why did she die? Not Avraham, not Yitzchak. Because she was all alone. She was all alone. This one of the Farshim said the reason why she died is if not I have to find it means that the shock, the pshuta shel mikra is, the shock of hearing bad news can kill you. So why did Sarah die, not anyone else? Not Avraham, it was even older Avraham, about what Hashem want. Because Sarah was all alone. And when you're all alone, you're that much more vulnerable to suffer from shock. When you're surrounded, when you're with family and friends and shocking news is presented, when you're in the company of other people, it automatically softens the shock. Sorry, Imenu was all alone. Corona, they take people away to the hospital all alone. They don't let anyone into the hospital. And the loneliness of being all alone can be fatal for many people. It's part of the tragedy. Part of the tragedy. So-called experts. It's the same CDC that prohibits loved ones to come be present at the time of death, who said that any citizen of this country has the right to go to the voting stations to vote, even if you're 100% positive with corona. And who, by the way, who works in the polling stations? Who works in the election, in these booths? Who? elderly people. Everyone there, when I went to vote, everyone there behind the desk was probably in their 60s or 70s. A lot of retirees who have nothing to do, they work there. The people who are the most vulnerable are sitting and working in these locations throughout the entire country. And the CDC says, go, you have a right to go and kill them all. You're 100%. But if your relative is dying and you want to see one more time and say goodbye and say vidui, or even by them, give them the last rites, even by the goyim, no. You can't do. You can't do that. Does this make sense to you? Does this make sense to you? What's going on? All the things I've heard, this was the most shocking thing. They don't seem to be too bothered by it. But I don't know. I for some reason, I don't know why. I am very strong about this. Other people don't seem to be too interested. All right, let's go now. Take a look at the Targum. Targum over here says, Umisa Sora died. Bikiryas Arba Hicharon Ba'ara Dichnon, in the land of Canaan. Va'aso Avraham Lemispida the Sarah Ulemivka. Avram came to mourn, eulogize, and to cry. Notice the small chaf in the Sefer Torah. There's a small chaf. You see over here a small chaf in the Sefer Torah. There's a small chaf for Velivkaisa. Now let's take a look at over here some what exactly over here is going on over here in the Targum. Targum Bikiryas Arba. So Targum over here, he said of controversy. All he said was Bikiryas Arba, he mamish. He just took the words right off the page and stuck them in over here. The Kiryas Arba, Ein loy ma shekiryas Arba, ratzolay ma ir shel odam anikra Arba. Shem kein ha'av betargim bekarta de Arba. Al das targuma b'midbar ir si'ichoin kirta de si'chon. This is a beautiful parish. See, the Ma'at Sari, he really, really goes to town over here. Look what he does over here for us. He explains. You would think it's so innocent, right? It's such an innocent little thing over here, this targum. Bikiryas Arba. Why is Rashi coming to comment and tell us about the Bikiryas Arba? Why is your Rashi Kiryas Arba? What's this whole Rashi all about? So basically, what Rashi says in three lines, he said in one line, in one word. Bikiryas Arba. If you would not know otherwise, you would say there was a person and his name was Arba. Four. Okay, now the city of Arba. There are a lot of cities that are named after people. It's interesting, a person would be named a number, right? Wasn't there a law case a couple of years ago? It was a famous law case when a person wanted to change his name to a number. He wanted, that should be his name. I want my name to be some crazy number. And they didn't when he went to the clerk in the city to have his name changed to a number, they told him, we don't do that, goodbye. And he went up to all the courts. He went up and went, took him to court. Higher and higher and higher. It was a celebrity case. I don't remember what the maskana was, but it's a little bit bizarre for a person to be called by a number. Well, guess what? Maybe that's really what it means. The city of a fellow, and his name was Four. Could you imagine his name is my name? Not Four, O-U-R, not F-O-U-R, F-O-U-R, but the number Four. The city of the man whose name was Four, the numerical Four. So if that's what the pasuk really means, then to say Bikiryas de Arba. If that's the way, then just like when it says ear of Sichoin, Targum translates it Kirta, the Ara, Kirta, it should not be, it should be Kirta de Sichoin. Then it should be Kirta de Arba. The fact that the Targum does not do that indicates that the word Arba means the number Four, and it's not the name of the city, but there is something, this is a location, and in this location there are four items. What are the four items? Well, the Targum doesn't tell us. Rashi fills it in the details. Rashi over here is obviously, he's coming to elaborate upon, yeah, you got it right, Targum, very good, you got it right. It's not called a city named after a man whose name was Four, but rather it's a city, And the city had a unique thing in this. There was something unique about the city relating to the number four. What was that? So Rashi fills us in. Achtimon Shesha Vesalmai Vavien, or Dover Acher, the four Zugos. Okay? Now let's go. Now the Asa, what happened over here? The Asa. Avraham now comes. The Asa, Avraham. Ladas Ramban Ein Perish Vayavo Avraham Imokam Acher, Ella Shinichnas La Oil Sor Lispoidosa. Avul Ein Nirish Zudas Ungulis. Miloy Tirgim, the All Avraham. Lashon Knisa. So now he's coming over here to, basically, that really, now we appreciate what Rashi says. Vayavoy Avraham. Where did he come? He came Mibe'er Shava. Who says that's what it means? Maybe what it means is Vayavo Avraham. Avraham entered into her chamber. He entered into the chapel. He entered into the private room where she was before they buried her. For what purpose? Lispoid lisrav livkaisa. Avraham took the podium to deliver a eulogy. And he seems to want to suggest, is that what the Targum says? The Targum says, Va'aso Avraham lemiskada desoro ulemivkai. What's the lamid? Okay, it's not so clear. But maybe it could very well be, okay, I don't know, I'm just maybe he's taking over here from the Ramban, and maybe he's trying to say is that there's a machloikis between Rashi. The reason what prompted Rashi to say Vayavar Mibe'er Shava, either he's coming to disagree with the Targum. Somehow Rashi felt that the Targum, what he means to say Va'aso Avraham Limispida, maybe it's the Lamit. Vayavo Avraham, Avraham came Lispoid, okay. I don't know, the lam is in the pasuk, you can't really say that, but maybe Rashi learns the word Va'asa Avraham means he didn't come from a place. Targum learns he entered into her chamber to deliver a eulogy, entered the chapel, he stood up by the podium to deliver a hesped, a eulogy. And Rashi says, no, that's not what it means. You got it wrong. It doesn't mean he walked to the chapel, it means that Avraham Avinu was far away. He had to go get on a plane from Be'er Sheva to make it down to Chevron in order to be here now to do what he needs to do. Okay, that's is maybe not. Maybe Rashi, the fact that it does not say the all, he says the osa, maybe in a chanami, he learns he came from a different location. And Rashi is coming to back up the Targum. See, this is the controversy. Anytime there's a controversy in a word, Rashi is going to comment. If there's no controversy in the word of the translation, Rashi stays out of the picture. Rashi is always coming to pick up on trouble. He's looking for trouble. Next. Vayavo Avraham, that next idea here. Lemisbede the Sarah. He's coming over here to eulogize Sarah. Tear game. Let me make it a little bit smaller. Let me make this a drop smaller. Okay, tear game. What happened over here? One moment, I gotta put this on the top because I can't see what I'm reading to you. One moment, okay. Over here it says Avram's coming lemispede lesara, tear game lispay lesara lemispede shel sara, shachedim his speedu vi Avram bocha.
I tell you, Cody called.
Okay, we have to mute everyone. Everybody say. Lemisbidei Lasara, he's learning over here that Avraham himself deliver a eulogy. That's the question. So I would assume, of course, it says here in the Pasuk, Lispoid, Lisrav Livkaisa. So of course, Avraham, he delivered the eulogy. So if that is correct, then the Targum should say, Vasa Avraham, it should say Avraham lemispad lisara. Why did the Targum change the lamid of lisara into a dalid? Why did the Targum change that letter? It's not the right letter. Lemispada lisara. Because if it had a lamed, it would mean that Avraham himself delivered a eulogy. But it didn't say that. Obviously, the Targum learned, according to what he's explaining, the lispoy that he entered, Avraham, and I think now all of the pieces are coming together. Now we're getting, what was the question? The question was, Vayavo Avraham. What does it mean, Vayavo Avraham? What does this mean? Does it mean that Avraham traveled from a different location, from Be'er Sheva to Hebron? Or does it mean Avraham, he entered into the chapel? So, over here it says, Vayavo Avraham lispoid lisarah. According to the Targum, it means Avraham entered the chapel to listen to other people deliver eulogies, but he himself did not eulogize her. Vayavo means he entered to the lispoid lisara. The word vayavo is modifying these two words. He entered into the eulogy of Sarah to listen. And when he listened, he cried, but he did not speak. That's why the Targum changed. He changed the lamed of Lisara to Disara. How did he do that? You know why? Because the word Vayavo forces you to do that in the translation. Avraham entered into the chapel to listen to the eulogy Avraham Lemispida Disara. He came to the funeral. And what did he do at the funeral? The only thing that he did was Ulanifka, he cried. But he did not deliver a eulogy. Rashi disagrees. Rashi says Vayavo is nothing to do with the word Lispoid Lisara. That doesn't mean that. Vayavo means he got on a plane in Be'er Sheva and he flew a chartered flight from Be'er Sheva to Hebron to make it on time to the funeral. That's what he did. Vayavo Avraham. When he arrived, what did he do? He was the eulogizer. Lispoid Lisa. He gave the keynote address. The keynote eulogy, if there's such a thing. He gave the hesped, and he also cried for her. Fundamental difference in Rashi and the Unkelis, and it's all hinted to in one letter. One teeny letter makes all the difference in understanding the simple pshat in the pasuk, and why Rashi explodes, and it says all of these words, Mebe'er Sheva, Lispoy Lissarov Livkaisa, which implies the way Rashi puts the Dibra Masli, the two things. He has the Lamed, Lispoy Lissara and Livkaisa. In response to the Targum that Lemispida Disara, something entirely different. Okay? Now, by the way, to me, this is very, very fascinating, this understanding of the Targum, because more often than not, Rachmanu Litzlan by a levaya, the people who are closest to the person who dies can't speak. You really can't. You can't. You can't compose yourself. You cannot. That's how it is. You cannot, at the moment of grief, deliver a eulogy that is. Powerful because the grief overtakes the person. There's a story, I don't remember who it was. I think it was Taz. Maybe someone here knows the story. It's a very famous story. One of the Gedolei Yisrael, he was married to a very wonderful woman and she passed away. And short time after, he asked his father-in-law if he could marry her sister. He wanted to marry the other daughter. Sister, yeah, she was eligible, whatever the story was. And his father-in-law told him, Loi mitten aleph, no way am I giving you my daughter, my second daughter, no way. Why not? Because you delivered the most amazing eulogy for my other daughter when she died. the eulogy that you delivered in her honor, your wife, when she died, was off the charts. It was absolutely brilliant, meaningful, moving. Every word, every accolade you can extract from the dictionary, that's what you can say about your eulogy. And the father-in-law said, you know what that means to me? It means you really didn't love your wife, my daughter. Because if you really did, there's no way you could have, your mind could have been clear. You could have had the presence of mind to express yourself with such eloquence and brilliant thoughts at that time. It must be that you looked at your wife as an object, as an intellectual, as a person, you know, as a figure. Not, there's something missing, the human element was missing. How could you have said such an incredible hesped at such a great moment of pain? Obviously, you weren't in pain. If you weren't in pain for this daughter, I don't believe you'll your relationship with my other daughter, if I'll give you my other daughter as a wife, it'll be any better. I don't want that for my daughter. I want for my daughter a husband. Maybe he's not so brilliant, but she should be in a very close and deep relationship with a person that cares for her. So here, according to Unkelus, Avram Avinu did not deliver eulogy because he couldn't. He couldn't. He couldn't bring himself. He's a human being, Avram Avinu. What is he going to say? What did Avram Avinu do? He cried. V'liv kosa. V'yavo Avraham. He entered into the chapel. Lispoid Lissara, according to the Unkelus, he entered into the chapel. V'asa Avraham. He arrived. L'mispeda d'sara. He came to her funeral. Not to speak. And to do what? For Liv Kaisa, to cry over her. Rashi says, no! Avraham spoke. He gave a eulogy. What did he say? We don't know. One second, it went dark here. This is incredible. This to me is incredible stuff over here. This difference between Rashi and Unkelus, how they look at this pasuk. Okay, let's finish up over here. Lispay the solen mispay the so jachem his vavam bocha od yesh to farish unkelus kitag mizan uzil shabo avraham mehar maria umatzah shemesa sara vilfi ze loy ba lispay elaba lemis abal lemispay lamispay. Now, he's saying over here a little bit, let me read a little bit further, and we're going to come back, explain this. Omnam, yesh garsin, l'mispeda l'sara. You see what I told you over here? Some additions are so disturbed with everything that I told you right now. They're so disturbed with what I just said, the whole shir that I just gave you now. They actually went to the page, and they deleted the dalet, and they changed it to a lamed. Here what goes on in this world. They actually went to the ballots. And they changed the ballots. They changed the dalet to a lamed because they could not swallow everything that I just said. Yesh garsin l'mispida l'sara. U'lefiz ha'kavana l'spoid esara. Now, in the middle, between the two extremes, the perishyaz in the middle is somewhere in the middle, which means like this. Which means, when Avraham left wherever he was, did he already know that Sarah died? Did somebody come to inform him Sarah died? And now, if someone informed him that Sarah died, so when he bought a ticket to come home, he bought the ticket with the kavana, I'm coming home now to eulogize my wife, to take care of her, to bury her, v'chulu v'chulu. Or maybe no. Maybe Avraham, he didn't hear about it. He just happened to come home at this point in time. He happened to walk home. Vayavo Avraham. Avraham happened to walk in. Vayavo Avraham. He walked into the funeral. In those days, when someone died, they didn't go wait months and weeks to go track the person down. They didn't have all the technology that we have today. How Avraham's not here? when we'll come back, we'll tell him that Sarah died and we buried her. It was Hashgacha Pratis. Avraham just happened to walk in as they were eulogizing her. So he did not come with the kavana to eulogize her. Okay, that's the pshat he's trying to say here in the middle. Okay, the old yesh lefareh she unkelis kitargiz and nazil shav Avraham and mehar, not like mehar Maria. Okay, he came from Har Maria, not from Be'er Sheva. Umotza shemesa umotza shemesa ulefiz eloy bol nispeid elabola mispeid. He came in the, he walked in the middle. Okay, that's different. That explains also why he changed the mispeid. Sorry, he didn't come to eulogize her. He happened to come in right in the middle of when they were eulogizing her. Something along those lines. Okay, it's a little bit rough. That needs a little bit more bear. Okay. All right. We're gonna have to stop. We'll just finish up with the page. Look, so tomorrow we want to go to the next page. There is no Rashi on this. Okay. And here, Pasagimel will come Avraham al apay misay on the face of the dead. Umalel he spoke in bnei. The bnei ches lemar. What's the chitoa? Bnei ho'umo hachitis. V'amil ches b'loshoim hakosav ein hashem ho'ish hanizko le'el. K'mo she'be'emes perish Rabbeinu Bechaye. It's the nation of ches, hachitis. The nation of chitis. Al bnei ches means the nation. It's not a person. He spoke, don't say it means the children of ches. We're not dealing with a person. He spoke to the people, the chitim, the people called ches. That's why chito'o, he says here, it's the name of a nation, not the name of a person. Okay, we did over here today three psukim. Thank you for joining me. Have a wonderful evening.
Where was Yitzchak?
Where was Yitzchak? Yitzchak went to, Rashi says, the last week's parasha, that he went to Kollel. He went to Kollel. He went for 3 years to learn Kollel.
Where?
Where? Shem Ve'Aver, probably.
So where was the Kollel?
Where was the Kollel?
Yeah.
Avenue L and Coney and Ocean Avenue.
So he didn't go to be Menachem,
his mother?
Bury his mother?
Maybe he didn't know. It's not likely he knew. It's not likely he even, I mean, Alderich Pshat.
He went straight to the Kollel,
yeah,
and brought one back home, and he...
Discovered.
To Hebron, and he found it.
And he discovered. Or they called Avraham. They called for him. When they called for him, did they call for Yitzchak? Maybe he's already... It's not clear.
Yitzchak, if he went to Be'er Sheva, he had to pass Hebron.
I don't know the answer. I don't know. It's not clear. It doesn't say anywhere that Yitzchak was present by Sarah's Levi. It doesn't say that anywhere that I'm aware of. And the question is, like, why not? Why not? Did he know? Did he even know? When did he find out? When did Yitzchak find out that his mother died? Did he find out later on, 3 years later? Did he find out right away? I don't know. It doesn't say. Even Avram, we see in the forest, we see the writer Avram. Did he know that she died? It was an accident. He just happened to walk into town the day that she died. It was a mazel. Hashkocha Pratis. Or no, they actually sent messengers to find him. They tracked him down. Different opinions. There are different opinions. All right. That's the story. Chaye Saras is not a, it's a sad parsha. It's a very sad parsha.
Listen, go ahead.
I heard from Rabbi Reisman.
Yes.
He started the parsha. But I don't know if it's appropriate for you, Ephraim, try it before you can prove it. It said there are two main topics on the parsha. It's Motzara Kvurata, her burial, and the Shidduch, the marriage of Yitzchak and Rivka. So it means there is more than one way to bury a person.
Normally it's Meir that tells me these jokes. Normally Meir is the one. I'm shocked that who's telling me this joke.
Yeah. You shocked that you're telling me that joke?
Normally it's the other way around. It's Nair who's saying these jokes. All right.
Okay, have a good night.
Everything should be good. Have a wonderful evening. Good night, everyone. Good night. Be well. Be well.
Okay,
I'm signing off. Have a good night, everyone. Good night, everyone. Take care.